Hello, and welcome to the Buyer Insights Podcast, a show about how and why people buy. I'm your host, Liston Witherell. I'm the CEO of GoodFunnel, a digital marketing agency. You can check us out on the web at www.goodfunnel.co. You can listen to all episodes of the Buyer Insights Podcast at goodfunnel.co/podcast. You can grab the show notes from this episode there also. Today, I'm very excited to have a special guest. His name is John Corcoran of Smart Business Revolution. This guy has basically done everything in his career, and he's known for one really exceptional skill, and that is connecting with influencers and VIPs. But that's not what we're going to focus on today. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation because it's about how he's been able to pivot his business through his feedback that he receives from his buyers and customers to create a very, very high-end, closed, small mastermind group that's over $15,000 a year. So he's going to talk all about how he was able to do that. Before we get there today, I just want to mention a resource that I think is really helpful for you that we're proud to announce, and that is on our website, you can go and find the process that we use that we call store analysis, that's S-T-O-R analysis, in order to find buyer insights ourselves. It's the exact process we use when we're gathering different data points from anything from testimonials to reviews to competitor feedback to even competitors' testimonials to even client interviews. And so what we do is we take all of that information and we use this proprietary form of analysis that we call store analysis in order to organize that information. So if you are currently in the process of taking buyer insights and transforming them into marketing and sales for yourself, I'd really recommend that you go onto our website and download it, and you can get it at goodfunnel.co/store analysis. That's S-T-O-R analysis. And with that, I am now excited to bring on John Corcoran from Smart Business Revolution. Enjoy the conversation. Hey, it's Liston here with John Corcoran. John, how are you today?
I am doing well. Thanks for having me, Liston.
Fantastic. I'm really excited to have you here. And I brought you on for a slightly different reason. You know, I've had people who have focused on web psychology and conversions and really kind of fundamental UX research. And you have your own story about how you were able to use buyer insights that you went out and found yourself in order to take something that went from a $250 in-person event to a $15,000 annual membership community that's for professional service providers. And I want to hear about that. And I'm sure everybody listening to this wants to hear about it. But before we dive into that, John, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got to this point?
Sure. So I have a really unusual journey. I've worked in a bunch of different industries. I grew up in a humble middle-class family. We actually moved around a lot as a kid. My father got laid off three separate times when I was growing up, and each time we had to move 3,000 miles away from family and friends. And he didn't really have the connections at the time to be able to just call someone up and say, give me a job so that we could stay in our community. We didn't have to move and all that kind of stuff. And one of the things that instilled in me is the importance of relationships. And so throughout my career, relationships have been incredibly important. It's always been something I put a premium on. And throughout my career, I've had some amazing opportunities. I was a writer in the Clinton White House at 23 years old. I was an early employee of DreamWorks when I was 20 years old. I've worked in Hollywood. I've worked as a speechwriter to the governor of California, and I've run my own boutique law firm here in the San Francisco Bay Area. And now I run two businesses, Smart Business Revolution and Rise 25, which we can get into what those are. And it's all really about how you leverage relationships in a smarter way to grow your business and increase your revenues. And so I take those relationships, those lessons that I've learned throughout my life from my childhood onward, and help other people to implement them as well.
Fantastic. So you've done a few things in your life, needless to say. And so I wanted to focus on Rise 25. So can you tell us a little bit about that and how it got started as an in-person event?
Sure. Well, I always tell people to start things incredibly small. You know, I think it's a mistake to think like, I want to start $1 million-a-year business and, you know, just have these like overly ambitious plans and then not do anything towards that. So this literally started, my business partner, Dr. Jeremy Weiss, who's trained as a chiropractor in Chicago. Literally, he and I were going to the same conference coming up in a couple of weeks. And he called me up and he said, hey, what do you think about doing like just a small little mastermind for like maybe a dozen people? And like we had two and a half weeks notice, and we just got on the horn, we called around, and we got a dozen people to pay $250 to come for a half a day, and exchange ideas, like all entrepreneurs, business owners, some really smart people. You and I originally met through Andrew Warner, who's the host of Mixergy, who's there as well, and Jordan Harbinger is the host of our Charm podcast, and some really cool people were there. And we really enjoyed it, and so we decided let's take this further. We went from that point. We had one person who said, you know what, this is really great, and I think you should do it again, and you should charge me 10 times as much. And that was really eye-opening that he said that to us. And we thought, wow, we could really create a completely different experience on that. And so we had a lot of conversations with people. We can dive into, you know, what that looked like. And we ended up, you know, increasing the price by over 10 times. And the funny thing was, the second time we did it, we got much even better results. Like, you know, people were happy the first time. But the second time, you know, people were kind of through the moon. And it's because you can deliver a better experience when you charge more. That's one of the reasons. So we can talk about the entire journey, but that's the origins of it.
Yeah. So let's talk about first. It sounds like you had maybe not a pivot, but you started to refine who your customer was in the first place, right? So when we think about buyer insights, what we always ask is, well, who are we selling to? Why do they care? What's on their mind? And why is this so good for them? How did you start to narrow down and niche down on who your customer was?
Well, the funny thing was is I've done this multiple times throughout my career. So when I started practicing law, I, you know, took anything that came through the door. I was working for law firms, and we'd take any client basically that's willing to pay. And I realized that was a mistake, and you really need to niche down and focus. And that can be a long process of figuring out what you really enjoy doing. And ultimately, I decided in practicing law that I really enjoyed working with business owners and entrepreneurs, and so I gravitated towards that. And then when I started my site, Smart Business Revolution, I similarly was too broad. I was just speaking to entrepreneurs and just talking about business owners, but not really focused enough. And there's a lot of blogs out there that are just very similar. It's very cookie cutter. It didn't really gain any traction. And then, you know, I got feedback from other people, and a number of other people said, you know, John, you're really good at building relationships with people, and you've done it throughout your career, and a lot of times with influencers and VIPs. How do you do all that? You know, and they started asking me for advice on that. And so I realized I'm going to niche it down even further, and I'm going to focus on this idea of building better relationships in business, using it to get more clients and customers and buyers and increase your revenues. And once I narrowed down and focused on that with Smart Business Revolution, then things really took off. And then same thing happened with Rise 25. We just literally, like the first time we did it, we just let anyone come, you know, business owners. We didn't really focus it. We didn't really have a message behind it. And then after we'd done a couple of these events where we did 2.5-day events, it was eventually we were charging $5,000 for these events, and people really enjoyed it, but we also realized that we needed to focus it even more. And so we looked at our backgrounds. We looked at, you know, what are our skills? What are we known for? What do people come to us for? And we realized, you know, Jeremy's background, he's trained as a chiropractor. I'm trained as a lawyer, and we both diversified our income streams so that we have multiple income streams, and we're not just dependent on client service work. And in fact, we've pretty much backed ourselves out of that entirely. And so we figured we could help professional service entrepreneurs who want to shift from doing one-to-one client work, chasing clients, to one-to-many programs and offerings for larger groups of people, have a bigger impact. And when we really zeroed down on that, that's when really, you know, it made a lot more sense what we were doing.
Yeah. And so was that a conscious decision, would you say, that you mostly made, or did you also rely on conversations with customers, and how did you go out and find those people to initiate those conversations in the first place?
It was absolutely from conscious conversations with people who'd been to our events before first. And that's number one. Talk to people. Anyone who's paid a dollar to you before is likely to pay more to you in the future. So first, you should go back and talk to them. And then also talking to other people who you believe are prospects. Maybe they've bought something else from you, You know, maybe you've sold a digital product, or you've done some other kind of training, or you've done some client service work. Go back and talk to them, have a conversation with them, figure out what they like or didn't like about working with you. Get their candid, their advice on what they think you should be doing more of, and really start listening. And a lot of times it just takes that process of listening to people and letting them kind of open up and communicate to you what they're challenged by and how you can help them. So really it was just a process of doing that for over a number of months that led us to redirect and focus towards professional service entrepreneurs.
Now, one thing we see a lot of is this issue of signal and noise, right? So, especially someone at your level where you have tens of thousands of people on your email list, you probably have hundreds or probably thousands of people who bought something from you over the years. How do you go about looking at who you're going to approach? And we get asked this question all the time about what is the right number? How many data points do I need before I can make a conscious decision about what is actually a buyer insight and what is something that I shouldn't listen to and throw away?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's going to be different for everyone based on the amount of data points you have coming into your business. I mean, if you have 50 past buyers, it's going to be different than if you have 500 past buyers. I definitely am a big believer in if one person asks you for something, throw it out. If 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people ask you for something, then you got to start listening. And I think a lot of people make the mistake of, they get a critical response from someone. Someone sends you an email that's negative or is angry or upset about something, and they immediately drop everything and they go and try and rectify that. Well, just because one person got angry or upset about something doesn't mean that you should drop everything and go focus on that one thing. This freaked me out about when I was building a blog early on. Like, I'd get a web developer or web designer friend who was trying to do me a favor, who'd be like, oh, no, that's ugly. You need to change this, change that. You need to change this sidebar thing. So I'd spend a bunch of time fiddling, around and trying to fix this thing on my website, that thing on my website. And it was a bunch of waste of time. Honestly, like a web developer, web designer will tell you that, oh, no, you're not. No one's going to take you seriously. You're not going to have a business until you drop everything and focus on this. But you know what? I mean, I've had a cookie cutter template on my website for many years now, and it hasn't affected my business one bit. So I'm a big believer that you need to wait until you hear multiple people telling you something before you actually make a decision to take an action on that. But to answer your question about, how many people, I mean, it's way more than one. And it's going to be, somewhere before you get hundreds and hundreds of data points, then it's probably too late. You probably should have done something about it. It's just kind of something you got to kind of follow a gut instinct. I mean, Jeremy and I had done a couple of these events. We'd had a few dozen people come through our events, fewer than 50 people. Now, some of them were paying $5,000 to come to our events, but, that's not a huge number of people, but it was enough people that talking to them combined with communicating with other people who are on my email list or emailing me about things that they're challenged by, combined with having conversations just with people who we thought were in our target demographic, the type of market that we wanted to go after, it was enough information that we said, okay, this is the direction that we need to go into. And interestingly, I mean, it was validated pretty quickly, because when we started going in that direction, we started seeing people saying, boom, I need that. I want that. That's really something that I could use help with.
And what was the way that you actually collected this feedback at your events? Did you give surveys? Did you and Jeremy kind of do a joint download where you talked about some of the themes that you found together?
I think we're gathering it at all times. Our events are not really teaching events where we're like a bunch of gurus at the front of the room and we're just teaching people the whole time. But to the extent that we were, leading it, obviously, our format's a little bit more collaborative than that. But to the extent that we're leading it, we're engaging the room the entire time. How connected are people? How engaged are they? Are they enjoying this? Do they seem like they're losing attention? We're paying attention to those things. And then casual conversations in the hallway. Hey, what did you think of that? Was that helpful? Was it not helpful? Are people asking a lot of questions? Are they following up by saying, hey, we got to do more of this. Can we do this thing or that? And the cool thing was, you know, you can tell when people are engaged or when they're not. And at some of our events, we had, you know, great follow-up where people would say, you know, I've got this great idea. We could do this. Or, I've got this friend who should come next time. I want to tell him. And those types of signs are signs that you're onto something. So I'm a big believer in just having conversations with people. There's a certain point where that's not scalable anymore. I mean, if you're doing live events and you've got hundreds and hundreds of people coming in, then you got to start moving into surveys and things that are more scalable rather than one-on-one conversations, or you have limited one-on-one conversations, or you turn the conversations over to someone else who's doing the research for you. But I'm a real big believer on doing that. And by the way, I mean, I've been to events where I paid a lot of money to come to people's events, and really successful people, they want to know what you're thinking because they're doing the same thing. They're researching their market. They want to know whether you're happy, whether you're not happy. They want to know where they can change and improve. They're dedicated to iterating and improving. And that's really, you know, that's putting yourself on the path to mastery.
Yeah. So I think we're a second away from getting to this big question is how do you go to 10, 20, 30X your original price. But before we get there, you know, I'm really curious to know how, you know, you use this term internet guru, or this term, you know, we're not the guru at the front of the room. How do you start to collect this feedback and then take this dive where you know other people are offering a similar service, but obviously there's only one John Corcoran and there's only one Jeremy to be in front of the room. But how do you take that leap in order to find the buyer insights, put together the right program, and then go offer something that you know people can get, maybe not the same exact thing, but something similar elsewhere?
You know, that's a great question. I think what you need to do is you need to find what's your differentiating factor. And, you know, to the extent that you are a different person from someone else who is offering a similar product in the marketplace, you're always going to attract a different group of people. So in other words, a woman who is in her early 30s, who's putting on an event that's really similar to us, is going to attract a different demographic of people just by the nature of who she is and who she attracts and how she talks, how she communicates, all that kind of stuff. And an older gentleman who's in his mid-60s is going to attract a different group. So that's just naturally going to happen. But I think you do need to find ways to differentiate yourself beyond that. And what's interesting is we had a lot of different – we talked about different benefits of coming to our events, benefits of joining our community, our annual program. And there was one that stood out head and shoulders above the rest to the point where we realized that we were really onto something here. It was really a differentiator. And that was our concept of our Sherpas. So we have – we call them our Sherpas. We have 8 and 9 figure business owners, people who have built 8 or 9 figure businesses, and they come to our events and they sit there for 2.5 days the entire time, and they provide feedback on everyone else's businesses. They're kind of like the sharks in Shark Tank, except that they're not investing in your business. They're just providing feedback. And this was something that we kind of eased into, this idea, and we started bringing in these experts, you know, people that were connected in our network, and we brought them in to provide feedback. But then as we started describing that idea to people, it really stood out, like way more than other things that we thought would stood out. So like, you know, we'd be on the phone with people talking to them about coming to the program or joining the program, and they would just literally, they'd say to us, you know, like, that sounds really cool, the Sherpa thing. I really like that you guys have that, you know. I haven't heard of that before. And so you just got to be responsive to that and say, okay, wow, this is really a differentiator. So we've really embraced that idea and made sure it's front and center in our marketing, in our sales pages, in our conversations. We're sure we always like make sure that we share that with people.
Absolutely. Okay. So now the question that I know so many people want to know is how do you go from $250 for a one-time event? Someone mentions to you, you know, I would have gotten more out of this if you charged me 10 times the amount. And then you actually don't charge 10 times the amount. You charge much more than that. How do you settle on that price and then deliver an offering with obviously more flexibility to deliver more and create that package for people?
Well, I have to say it came out of, you know, again, the conversations with people, you know, people saying that this is great, but, you know, next time I'd want it to be longer. I felt like it was too short. So we knew that, you know, we knew they would want more time together. So naturally it becomes, okay, well, it's got to be a couple of days. All right. And then there were also areas where we saw holes. For example, because it was only a half a day, it took a while for people to warm up with each other in the room. And so we knew that doing something in advance would help to accelerate that bonding process so that they felt comfortable with one another, so that they let their guards down and they would share. And that was really important to us. So we decided that we would also put together a dinner the first night. So people get in, they come together and they do a dinner, and we have some activities that are designed to warm people up so they get to know each other, so they bond, so they're comfortable. And it's so cool because every time, then the next morning, they get in the room and they're all comfortable with one another. But to answer your question, I mean, a big part of it, I got to give credit to my business partner, Jeremy, because he had the cojones. He was like, you know what? We're going to jack up the price. We're going to charge a lot more. And yeah, there's going to be some people who can't afford it, but we want to create that environment where we're going to get people in the room who are curated. And the interesting thing is people are willing to pay for that. They're willing to pay for curation because there's a sea of noise out there. You mentioned it yourself. And if you go to an event that costs nothing or costs $99, there's a lot of noise there. But people are willing to pay more to be in a group of people, of other people who are serious. And so we just realized that that would be the case. And we, you know, took it on faith that that would happen. We also knew that by delivering a better experience, by placing it at a nice luxury four-star resort, that it would also add them, give them something else, like give them a nice experience, give them a nice little bit of a mini vacation. You know, they'd actually enjoy themselves more, and they'd be in a state where they would be you know, more able to take the feedback that they're getting and be separated from their business and be able to think it through and actually make some big decisions about their business. And that's what we intended to do. But you definitely do have to add something more. I mean, you can't just say, okay, I'm going to deliver the exact same experience. It's got to be a better experience. You know, if you're going to charge 10 times as much or more, then you got to deliver a better experience. So we knew, you know, we just have to put a lot more effort into it. So, you know, we put effort into selecting the venue. We looked nationwide for a location that we felt like was perfect for our group. We spent a lot of time deciding on, you know, what people are going to eat. We spent time deciding who people are going to sit next to at the meals and rotate them around so they're sitting next to people who they, you know, would get a lot of value out of talking to. We spent a lot of time into putting the materials together that we hand out to them during the actual event. So if you deliver a better experience, then you can command a premium price.
Mm-hmm. And so now, certainly one thing is true. I know you're actively looking to add more members, but you're going to hit a point where, by virtue of this being a premium kind of small closed group, you're going to reach a maximum. And so, of course, you can raise the price. But then you're probably thinking about collecting more buyer insights to offer something else. Do you have any plans for how you're going to do that?
That's a great question. And actually, one of the things that we work on with our members is the idea of having a product ladder. And, you know, for our market, professional service entrepreneurs, business owners, if they have not done anything to make the shift from one-to-one to one-to-many, and everyone's on kind of a different part of that spectrum. Some people are still 100% doing one-on-one client work. Others have dipped their toes in the water, or they've done some live events, or they've written a book, or they've done something that is moving towards a one-to-many type of offering. What we do is we help them through that process of understanding what their product ladder looks like and where they can have different offerings. And I honestly, personally, for my business for a long time, well, when I was practicing law, you don't have a product ladder. You've got one offering. It's your service. And if someone really wants to work with you, then they can keep on working with you. Right. And that's a lost opportunity. You know, if someone really likes working with you, you want to be able to offer them something else that gets them better results and also gets you better financial rewards. You need to create something like that. And so what we've done is we've created, you know, we have our annual program, and where we actually saw the hole with Rise 25 was actually lower on the ladder. We needed to have something that would bring people up because, you know, if you meet someone from scratch, asking them to spend, you know, now we charge $16,000 a year as of right now for this program, asking them to pay $16,000 is a big leap of faith. That's a lot. And we also realized if we could prove to people that we know what we're talking about, that they would be more likely to then escalate. You know, it's almost like creating like a farm team in baseball. You want to have like a farm team that you can draw people up to join the big leagues. So what we did is we went backwards and we created a lower priced offering in the $2,000 to $3,000 range that would allow us to work with people definitely prove to them that we know what we're talking about, allow them to see some results and almost like fund their ability to join the higher level program. Mm-hmm. So you need to kind of create that funnel where you have offerings that will allow people to then elevate as they seek higher and greater results.
Absolutely. Well, that makes a lot of sense. So, John, you've been very nice to humor me in all of the kind of deep personal questions I've been asking you about your business. Hopefully, I didn't catch you off guard at all. But now I want to ask you three questions that I ask all of my guests. And the first is, what is the biggest mistake you see people making in learning about their customers?
I think the biggest mistake people make is just pursuing something that they have a personal interest in or they are challenged by. A lot of times you see that people have they get the satisfaction from being challenged by something, so they pursue it as a business interest. And while they're kind of ignoring what the market is asking for from them. So, you know, I've got a friend here in my local town who she's an amazing baker and she makes these amazing cakes. And her friends are always telling her that, but she's really good at it. And it doesn't really require much skill, or she doesn't think it does, because she does it naturally. That's really what the market is asking for from her. And she has tried all these different businesses that are completely unrelated to that, but because they're a little bit more challenging to her. And I think when it comes to business, it's a lot easier to sell something that you're really naturally good at and the market already wants from you. So I think that's a big mistake.
Okay. So what is the one thing everyone can do today to learn more about their buyers?
You know, I don't think people do enough of it. It's exactly what we were talking about this entire interview, which was getting on the phone with people, having a conversation, and just exploring what they are, you know, challenged by. What is the big challenge that they could use help with? Because all of our clients, all of our customers out there, they're 99% of them are not, they're still seeking something else. And so just getting on the phone, having a conversation with them, figuring out what they're challenged by, and figuring out how you can bring any of your skills to bear to help them will take you a long way.
What is the one book that you recommend besides your own, of course?
So I always recommend it. Give and Take by Adam Grant. It's an amazing book. It's come out a couple of years ago. It's about the different types of people out there. He talks about givers, takers, and matchers. And it makes the academic argument for why you should go out there and you should be a giver, not without any catch. You know, you do want to be sure that you're not giving and never taking, never getting anything in return. But it does give the argument for going out there and being a giver in the world, and that those are the types of people who tend to rise to the top of the success ladder. So I'd recommend that one.
Well, and that is why you are known as someone who connects with a lot of influencers, I'm sure. So, John, you've been really generous with your time. I really appreciate it. Where can people find you if they'd like to follow up or learn more?
Sure. So, actually, I would recommend if you want to go to rise25.com/email, rise25.com/email, you can grab, we've got a 3-word subject line email template that we can give away to all of your listeners, which will help in this customer understanding journey. It's an email template that we've used over and over again. And when we've tested it, we've gotten 95% response rate sometimes in terms of people responding to the email. You send it out to your customers, you send it out to your prospects, and use it in order to get feedback on what you should create next. What, you know, leveraged offering, one-to-many offering you should be offering to the people who are interested in buying from you. So go check that out, and we can communicate there, rise25.com/email.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, John, for being on the podcast. I really appreciate you being here.
Thanks, Liston.